Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. I want to share a couple quick announcements with you. So something we have great coming up that we have every month. The first Friday of the month is coming up. So we have our Laughter, Love, and Lattes group, which is for all moms with young kids. That is the first Friday of every month at 6 o'clock, and they're meeting in the Red Room this Friday. And just FYI, everything that I'm sharing this morning is in our church app, the Church Center app, in the bulletin. And on there, you can actually sign up for text reminder. So if you're not signed up in there, it's a great way to get reminded about all these things that we have going on. Pastor touched on this just a little bit, but it is our week to pray for Stockton. So I know you guys pray for our city a lot. And if you go on this QR code, there's some targeted things that we're actually praying for. So if you were planning just to pray for the city, that's great. But if you scan that QR code, it will have sort of like a guide for you and show you the things that we're praying for and the things that we're believing for. Amen. So if you haven't already, you can go ahead and scan that, and then it will tell you some of those targeted prayers that we're doing here. Amen. Amen. Next Sunday, we have a guest speaker, which is Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. He has a great heart for religious freedom, parental rights, and an amazing testimony, and God has called him to serve in such an essential part that we need as believers. Amen. Amen. So I'm excited to hear what he has next week. So please make sure you don't miss it for service next Sunday. Also, 2 weeks from now, something very great we have going on is the Stockton Ports Faith Night. So we have our tickets going on sale today. They're in the shaded, nice, cool breeze area. So those are going to be $10 each. The game starts at 7, but if you want to get there a little early, they'll have some worship going on and player testimonials after the fact, and there'll be a lot of people, a lot of believers all around from Stockton and the surrounding areas. So our tickets are going on sale today. We have 100 tickets, and they are $10 each. So Miss Leticia and myself will be getting that taken care of after service. Just so you guys know, all our tickets are pre-purchased, so the ticket that I hand you is going to be your seat, because we don't have the entire section. Unless you guys have another 100 to 200 friends you want to invite, we could get all of them past what we have. But for our 100 seats, the ticket you get is going to be the seat that you have. So if you have somebody that you want to sit by, make sure that you guys are getting your tickets together. That way your seats will be next to each other, because after we hand you the ticket, that is your actual ticket to get in the game. So please don't lose it, and please know that that will be your seat for the game. Other than that, that's going to be it for the announcements. Junior high, you can head to the back to take off, and then Pastor will come.
Hallelujah. Well, he had to get very specific on that, because last year you guys just bought tickets and you thought you could sit anywhere. And then you got mad that you actually went to a public event that had a seat to it, and you had to sit where you're supposed to sit. So praise the Lord. We love all of you, but we just have to make sure that God's grace, God's good things. We don't want you to yell at Miss Leticia or Cameron or Samantha, okay? They're just trying to have everybody have fun. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a joy. Hallelujah. For God's hand upon us. Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to actually two passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then also Psalms 139. I'm going to read those two passages of Scriptures to you, and I'm going to read them out of the New Living Translation. I have the King James Version up here, but I'm going to read them out of the New Living just because I think they'll make a little more sense. I read them last week, and I shared my introduction, and now we're going to kind of hopefully share some things that I really feel on my heart, and I really, really, really feel like it's going to be an amazing benefit to you if you'll take hold of it and grab a hold of the things God has for us. You know, one of the things that I, in all of my life of being a Christian, is that I never understood the ups and downs of the relationship with the Lord. I've never understood not being joyful in the sense. And I've had tragedies, I've had difficulties, but not understanding the relationship of what God has done in our lives. Amen? And I can truly say I've never been mad at God, ever. because he's, you know, the way I was raised was if you got mad at God, he'd make you a greasy spot right there on the carpet. They would, so I've just never, ever, he's always been right. So it's really done really well. But, you know, in praying and being a pastor for 47 years, trying to share and minister life to people, is that what happens is that it's what James said this. He said, we're like the person who beholds his face in a mirror. And then when we go away, we forget what manner of man we are. You know, and of course that mirrors the Word of God. We've always got to come back to the Word of God to look and to see of who we really are. Amen. And what God said about us and what we have. Thank God for our salvation because it's so amazing. This salvation is such an amazing thing. Receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the greatest thing you could ever do. And it's the highest your faith has ever done. I mean, it's the biggest thing your faith is going to do because it's the same. Jesus said, it's the same. He's the same. He said, you know, listen, when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you get born again. That's how every promise of God comes. Amen. So we always think, man, I'm just trying to believe. No, glory to God. You've got the faith to believe because you got the faith to know that you're born again. Amen. Amen. But the Word of God declares right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. I love the phrase that says, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And yet in verse 10 it says, but God's given us his Spirit to reveal all those things that have been prepared for us. God has your life planned and prepared. We just have to find out what it is. Go with me over there to Psalms 139, verse 16 through 18. The New Living Translation says this, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me. Isn't that great? God's thinking good things about you. Oh God, they cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Well, God put all those things in a book. And he's the author of the book of your life. He's the author of your life. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's when we begin to look at the things of God, when we begin to grab a hold of those, I want to give you seven things, that just seven little simple points that I really believe that if we would just allow them to begin to look at and to see, it'll bring joy, it'll bring peace, but it'll also bless you for the rest of your life. Amen. Amen. I really think so, because God has some great things in store. Listen, the best days aren't behind us. The best days are right now and right ahead. Because this is the light. We're going to get to see the King. We're going to get to bring back the King. Amen. Hallelujah. So in order for, and Helica and all those that are going to put up all the points, they're actually on page 5 and 6. I'm going to jump off of page 1 and go all the way to the back of the notes. All right. And because I just feel impressed. I want to just get this. And I might just preach. So I might get real fast. And what happens when I start talking and I get real fast, you're not going to keep up. So hopefully they're going to be able to put things up. Amen. And I don't mean to do that. It's just I get a little excited about the things of God. Hallelujah. Because the very first thing about this is the very first thing, which is God has set goals or God has set plans for you, but it's up to us to find them and to get them accomplished in our life, which simply means we need to find out, what does the Word of God say about me? Amen. You want to put that one up there, Miss Angelica? You know, like I said, it's, you know, I got them all underlined so you can see those. Those are the ones. But why do I say that? Why do I say God has a plan? Because everybody's always saying, what does God want me to do? What do I need to do? How does this work? How? I don't understand. Amen. And as a pastor, I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm trying to get you to see. But if you don't know that God has a plan, that he has set goals for your life. You know, he's written it down in a book, and he has this whole book of your life already planned out that he wants you to run. And we're out here doing our own thing instead of doing what God's called us to do. And many times we look and say, well, that means I got to sell everything, give it, and I got to go be a missionary, or I got to go this. No, it simply means that if God set you in motion and you're working, this is what you're doing, and you enjoy what you're doing, glory to God, you're supposed to be the light that's there. That means God is going to have divine inventions and divine intervention, but also divine adventures. That every day is going to be like, God, who am I going to touch today? Who am I going to speak to today? Who am I going to share your truth with today? I'm going to do my job. I'm going to be a blessing. But who can I be a blessing to? Amen? Who can I be a blessing to? See, if you don't think that God has a plan, then you think you can do what you want to do. And that's not been working out too good for you. Because God placed his desire on the inside of you that when you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then your life can be rewarding, it can be enjoyable, and then there's peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. There are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Aren't you glad our future is bright? No matter what the world's doing, no matter how it's going, but our future is bright because we're in the church, because we've made Jesus the Lord of our life, because we know that we're going to make heaven. Amen? We look at that and go, oh man, thank you, thank you. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 1, because I'm still talking about your goals and your plans that God has for you. Amen? Hallelujah. And then God has a set plan for your life. And when you know that, and you know you're in the perfect will of God, hallelujah. You're just like, oh, this is great. You know, I have friends of mine that are living, you know, in Lebanon, and there are other people that are actually friends of mine that are actually going there and excited about being right in the middle of all the crazy things there. I got other friends that are in other countries that are very difficult, people that are in China, people that are all over. And you're thinking, gosh, every day of your life, you're going to be threatened. Every day of life, you could be thrown in prison or you could be killed, and yet you're so full of joy. You're so excited to be there. Why? Because that's the will of God for their lives. And they don't even think that they're in danger. Amen. We'll see what God says, you know. But here in Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 9. This is an amazing prayer that Paul prayed for us. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living too. It says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual understanding or spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Amen. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all of his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. Don't you wish they would have just got rid of that endurance and patience? You know, man. But may you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. I mean, what an amazing prayer. What an amazing thing. Because he said, God said, I want you to be filled with joy. I want you to be thanking the Father who has enabled you to share with the inheritance. It's not hard to receive from God. It's hard to get things, but it's not hard to receive. There's a big difference between getting and receiving. Because getting means you've got to do something. Receiving means that you've got to do something different. You've got to actually just reach out your hands and to receive all that Jesus already done for you. Hallelujah. Quit trying to strive. But see, God has a plan. And he said his plan. He said, I know my plans. I have it. And the Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible says that we've been given the Spirit of God, hallelujah, so that we know the things that God has for us. Amen? So the first thing is, though, guess what? God has a plan. He has a book that is written, and he has your life in his hand. Amen? We got to believe that. We got to start from square one. If you don't start from square one, hallelujah, you need to how to do it, introduce yourself. Sometimes we have to have, how many of you ever heard of a midlife crisis? Some of you have all experienced that. Some people experience that at different times. Some even experience it at 25, 30, whatever, 35, 40, and because they don't think they've reached that thing there. But you know what? What happens is when that takes place, it's because you think you did not accomplish what you should have accomplished by the age that you are. And you think you've missed out on something. And as Christians, we've never missed out, except for missing out on all the bad things, not the good things. Because God always has that next chapter for our lives to hear what he's going to be doing. Amen? Because here's the second thing that I want to share with you. You know, not only do you have to believe that God has a plan for your life, the second thing is you need God. You've got to allow God to change the perception that you have of yourself. You have to change, you know, the perception. What do I mean by that? How you see yourself is how you walk and how you receive. Amen. You know, I've been criticized and I've been thinking because I'm very confident in God. You know, he said, well, you just feel, it looks like you're confident in yourself. No, I'm confident in him. Very confident in him when it comes to the things of God. Amen. Yeah, I was very confident in my ability to do things. But, you know, the key is that I'm very confident in him because I trust him. And the reason I'm confident in him is because I know that Galatians 2:20 said that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Colossians also says, or Colossians says this, it says that my life is hid in Christ, in God. Amen? Hallelujah. Also, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Not some things, but all things. And when you realize that I've got to change my perception about myself and about how I can receive and how I can have this, because then you get over into Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, but we've been made more than conquerors. Wow, I'd just like to be a conqueror, but I've been made more than a conqueror. Amen? Which simply means Jesus has paid the price. But if I don't get a different perception, then I'm going to think like Gideon thought, no, 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 you can't be talking about me. I'm not a mighty man of valor. I'm from the lowest tribe, which is Benjamin, and my family is the lowest family in the lowest tribe. And I'm here hiding. I'm here hiding. And also, I want to ask you a question. How come you're not doing all the miracle signs and wonders that you did do? Amen. None of that stuff fazed God at all or fazed what was going on. He said, no, you are who I say you are. This is what you're going to do. You're going to receive and you're going to defeat the enemy. Amen. And we know Gideon and everything. We know he started out with a thousands. And then God said, no, you still got too many. He started out, he cut it down to this many thousands. Nope, you still got too many. He said, there's 300,000 of them and we only have 10,000. I don't think we got too many. God said, yeah, you got too many. You'll think you'll be able to do this. He gets them all the way down to 300. You know, that is not 100-to-1 odds. That's 1,000-to-1 odds. 1,000-to-1. And God says, okay, that's cool. 300's good. Let's do this. And they defeat the whole army of 300,000. You know, because God said, I want to get the glory. I don't want you to get the glory. Amen? But if we don't allow God to change the perception of who we are, then what happens is we won't do the things that he wants us to do. When we read in the book that he has for us, when we read that God says we're supposed to do this and we can do these things, it's going to stop us because we're going to think, I can't do that. And that's okay to say, I can't do that, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. You know, you may not be able to do it, but you in Christ Jesus can do all things if God's speaking, because God is going to be with you. Amen. And so how you think about yourself, and there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, the minute that you think you're defeated, the minute you think you can't, you can't. Amen. And we need to understand, we need to grab a hold of this big time. Because then the world would tell you, well, you're this, it's nothing. You know, who is this Jesus? Who is this? Well, you know, what do you care? What is Christianity and all that? Oh, you're one of those. And you get all of these things, and we get intimidated by the world. Amen? That's why I like when Brad Dick has come. He's going to tell you what all of your rights and what you can say, what you can do. Because we get so intimidated by people saying, well, we're going to sue you, or you're going to lose this, or you're going to lose that. You know, if you're afraid to lose things for the and not, you know, come up and stand strong for the gospel, we're in trouble anyways. Amen? You know, thank God for our, you know, 501c3 that we are, so we all can have our tax write-offs. But if they take that away from us, we're still going to all honor God. We're still going to all serve God. We're still going to continue to go with God. If you're not, well, then your relationship is not very good. Amen. Because if you, you know, if you're thinking that your blessing is based on that, we're all in trouble. Your blessing is based on what God said in His Word. You know, because God said if you give, it'll be given back to you. Amen. Pressed down in good measure, it'll be coming back to you. So, but you've got to get a different perspective. And so, and this is what, you know, but see, the problem is Christians get mad at other Christians because they think, well, who do you think you are? You just think you're something. You just think you know. And so you guys are just in pride. And it's like, no, we are acknowledging what God's word says about us, you know, just because we're not walking around doom and gloom and depressed. Amen. Now, we weep with those that weep. Amen. We comfort those that need comforting. Amen. We're going to have compassion. Amen. That's the heart of the Father. But glory to God. He said, you know, weeping and crying may do for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. See, if you don't start thinking that, well, I don't think God could use me. I don't think God would. If you don't know that God has a plan and a desire, and also that you don't begin to change how you see yourself, then you're going to walk around defeated. 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 Amen? So you've got to change your perception of yourself. The third thing is this. Third one is this. Hallelujah. Is grace gives you the power to go beyond your own ability. Aren't you glad for God's grace? Thank you for God. Bible says we are saved by faith. We are saved through grace, but by faith. You know, and so thank God for the grace of God that enables us to be born again. Thank God for the grace of God that enables us to serve. Thank God for the grace of God that gives us the power to go beyond our own ability. Amen. Thank God that the Bible says God's going to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Every time you say that, people think money. No, every need that you have. If you need peace, God's going to supply all of the peace you need. Amen. Glory to God. If you need joy, He's going to do that. Hallelujah. You just grab a hold of the truth of the Word of God. Because why? Because God's grace is amazing. I quoted this during the offering, but, you know, 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward us. Amen? So that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, that we may abound or have an abundance for every good work, means we have the opportunity to sow and to give and to see God's hand go there. But if you'll understand God's grace, I like what somebody said this. He said, grace is God's grip on you. Your faith is your grip on God. And now thank God for that, because God's grace never lets you go. He's faithful even when we're not faithful. Amen? Hallelujah. And He's got to go. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. But you've got to grab it, because you think, well, I just can't do this. I'm done. I just can't do it. So wait a minute. God's grace is there. God meets you when you can't do one in the impossible. God does the impossible because it's His grace. And nothing's impossible with God. Amen. Nothing's impossible with God. Hallelujah. So you don't go in your own strength. I go in the strength of my God. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and the power of His Spirit. It doesn't talking about you being strong. It says be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. His Spirit, His strength. That's what we let the grace of God. It's only by grace that we can stand. I like, you know, what Paul said. And he said this over in 1 Corinthians. He said this. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's my Popeye verse. That's how I remember that verse. Popeye always said, I am's what I am's. Okay? And so Paul said, he got it from the Bible. Popeye did. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Because it's by God's grace. He said, I've toiled more, I've done more, I've done. He said, but it was because of God's grace that was upon me that caused me to do the things that I needed to do. And when you think, okay, I don't have the power to do this, that's when you get it, Lord, I get to trust you. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is great. And I thank you for your ability to strengthen me, to strengthen me. And somebody needs to hear that today, because you think you've got to the end of your rope or got to the end of your day, or you're just trying to think, you know what? All of these Christians talk about how good God is, and they talk about how, you know, they get their prayers answered and all these different things. And many times we can get frustrated because we look around and say, how come God's not doing it for me? Amen. We can all get that way because they say, well, you just preach like he answers every prayer. He does. If you listen, he'll do if you take a hold of the word of God. But here's the thing. When you don't understand, that's when you thank God that his grace is holding you up. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. And here's the thing. When you get to the place and you say, I don't know what to do. You say, glory to God. If I don't know he doesn't lead me, then I just stay and I rest. And I say, all right, God, you're working. That means you're working on it. How did you? Because you're not telling me what to do. We're workers together. But if you're not sharing with me what to do and which way to go, that means you're working on it and I can rest. Because it's your grace. Because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And when you do the things, because you're believing, wait a minute, God's given me the grace, I can make it through. There's nothing that's come against me that God and I can't overcome. Amen? There's nothing in this. And you got to act on it. Amen? So it says, well, it's hard. I know it's hard. But the key is just doing it by faith. So, yeah, but then I'd be denying things. No, you'd be speaking of what the Word of God said. You're going to have people will think you're crazy because they're saying you should, you know. I mean, I've had people say, I've had ministers say this about me when I was younger in ministry. They say, I don't think he has enough sense to know what's wrong. He doesn't have enough sense to know that his church is not doing good. He doesn't have enough sense to know about all these things. And I'm so glad I didn't have physical sense or worldly sense. I just had Bible sense to say, God, I don't know what I'm doing, so you got to help me. See, I started out really, really young in ministry. And I had, you know, people would come and they'd say, listen, and they'd come in for counseling. And so the only thing I knew what to do was give them the Bible. You know, this is the best book on marriage. It's the best book on life. It's the best book on raising your kids. It's the best book on relationships. It's the best book I know. And so, you know, and so I had one of my board members came to me and he says, hey, you know, Pastor, you know, people come to you. And he said, but all you do is give them the Bible. You just give them the word. And I looked at him and said, you do realize that they've been married longer than I've been alive. I said, if you give me some time, just give me some time. I'm going to get some experience. I'm going to get some things. And I'll be able to maybe give them some examples on some things. But right now, this is the only thing I know that works, and it's the only thing I got. I started out at 19, okay? 19 years of age. And so, you know, glory be to God. And then from 19, I turned 20. And so that's why I always go from 20, you know, and add up all the years of ministry. But I get into it, and it's just like, oh, my gosh. So I was a senior pastor at 23 years old. I wouldn't recommend that for nobody. But the wonderful thing is God's grace was sufficient. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on what the Lord did because I didn't know what to do. And I learned and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. He said, well, my grace. I said, give me wisdom. Show me what to do. Amen? Amen? And God did it each and every time. Hallelujah. Because his word works. Let me give you the fourth thing. And this is for somebody specifically, but it's actually for our whole body. Hallelujah. And I want you to go with me, if you would, to John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 16. But here's the phrase. As a child of God, you have received his fullness and are like him. Because God made us in his image and his likeness. But also in John chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he said this, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. I love when it says, and of his fullness we all have received. Of his fullness. You're not missing anything that God's not withholding anything from you. He said, of his fullness we all have received. John said that for everybody. He said, listen, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And this is one of my favorite verses, is 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says this. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And people get really mad when you say things like that, and they get really upset. But see, that's what the apostle said, what the word of God says. And when you receive that, say, you know what? As Jesus is, so am I. I'm not Jesus, but as he's seated at the right hand of Father, I'm part of the body of Christ, so I'm seated with him. He's the head and I'm the body, amen? Hallelujah, he's my Lord and Savior, and I got adopted into the family of God, so I got all the rights and privileges, amen? I got all the rights and privileges. And you know, just a little side note, you know, two of my sons, they have adopted children. And I remember we went, when the first one was it's Pastor Aaron, but when they adopted Taylor, and she was 9 months old. We walked into the judges, we were all there, and man, that judge was amazing. He was awesome. He said, listen, you need to understand. You can disown all of your natural kids, but you can never disown this one. This is a sign for life. They have all the right. You can never not give them an inheritance. You can get rid of the ones you have, but you can't get rid of this one. I was like, man, that'll preach, because we've been adopted. That means you can get rid of, see, God can get rid of Jesus, but he can't get rid of us. And he's not going to get rid of Jesus, okay? Now, my other son, Adam, he's adopted 8 kids. Yeah, 8. He had one, and then they adopted 8 others. There's a whole story behind all of those. But I'm thinking, you know, and I kid, you know, his oldest son, his name's Hawkins, and I said, kid, I said, you got to be good because you're the only one that could lose out. You're the oldest, but you can lose it all. See, they can't. See, aren't you glad you've been adopted? We've received the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. That made it all the difference, because we were thinking, well, yeah, but you know, no. Thank God. Hallelujah. Man, as a child of God, I've received his fullness, and I can be like him, and I can walk like him because he said I could. He said I could. He said I could take hold of this and say, thank you for the fullness, Lord. Thank you that you're filling me up. Thank you that all of the promises of God in my life, hallelujah, is God's grace. And it's up to me to cultivate that life. Because let me give you the fifth one. You got to hurry. You guys aren't listening fast enough. You ready? So you always have to, you know, I do the Mary Poppins thing. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. So you got to think things and stir things up. Here's the fifth one. Hallelujah. And it's from Mark chapter 4, and it talks about the parable of the sower. But it means this: good soil in your heart yields good fruit in your life. You determine what God is going to do in your life, because you determine, hallelujah, what type of soil you are. See, if it talks about the parable of soil, there's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the same seed that's thrown on the wayside. It's the same seed that's thrown, you know, here, over here by the thorny ground. It's the same thing that is on the good ground. It's the same seed. The word is still the same, but it produces something different to where it's planted. Amen? It produces something different. Some says, well, how come it's not affecting me like it should? Because you're not cultivating it, and you're not taking hold of it, and you got to plant it. And you may need to plow first. And you may need to disc. So how do I do that? You got to not harden your heart against it. It's amazing. All of the good scriptures of the Word of God, all of the goodness of God, all the blessings of God, all the power of God, it seems that everybody has a hard time receiving. Amen. Y'all got quiet, but I know you're meditating and thinking about it, and that's good, because you need to. But why don't, you know, have you ever had this thought in your process? Well, I mean, God did it for those folks, and God, why not you? Why not me? Why not now? Why not now? Why not God doing things now? And the wonderful thing is that all of the promises of God are already yes and amen, the word of God declares. And so God's already done all things he's given unto. That's why I say, you got to learn how to receive, not get. And you got to learn to take hold of the word of God. If something's already done, then you're not waiting for it. You can go and partake of it. Amen? So you're not waiting for a manifestation of something. Amen. Thank you for your overwhelming response. And the reason being is because today's the day of salvation. Now is the time to receive. Today is the day that God wants to show himself strong, that God wants to minister to your life. Today's the day of healing. And today's the day of joy and peace. Today's the day of provision. Amen. Today's the day of wisdom. It is. Because we look at the word of God, he was made unto us wisdom. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, so that your peace will be full. He said, my joy I give unto you, so that your joy will be full. Well, listen, if we've got Jesus' peace and his joy, glory to God, ours ought to be full. Yeah. Amen? I mean, in Mark 4 says this, the sower sows the word. That's verse 14. Verse 20 says, but these are the ones that are sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Amen? Luke 8 says the same thing. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, wow, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Amen. Which means you reverence the things of God and you, this word, as Job said, I love your word more than my necessary food. That's a scripture. That's a scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. But let me give you number six. Number six is this, is that we've got to allow God to fill our heart with his hope. Notice it's not, let's allow God to fill our heart with hope. No, we've got to allow God to fill our heart with his hope. Because his hope is so much greater than any hope that you're looking at. Because see, in the world, and what we do, we think hope is just, you know, I say, oh man, I'm hoping, I'm hoping, hoping. It's like way out of, Bible hope is expecting with pleasure. It is an expectation. It's not a hoping. It's not a wish. It's an expectation. See, because you can't have faith without hope, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? So if you're not hoping for anything, your faith has nothing to look at in order to get and to receive. But if it's Bible hope, it's Bible expectation with pleasure, knowing, hallelujah, that what God said is true. Amen? And here's the thing. When you're in hope, you should have joy and peace. Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, hallelujah, with hope. Now that's the amplified version of that verse. Amen. But I like it. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, because that's given it, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. If you've got hope, glory to God, you've got something to believe in. Amen. Hallelujah. And Romans 5:5 says this, hope makes us not ashamed. Amen. And in the Amplified, it says this, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. Why is it so important? Because people have lost a lot of hope. They've lost hope in mankind. We've lost hope in what's happening. We don't know what truth is, because we don't know if this is AI or if this is this or this is that, this is this. We're not sure if it's real. Amen. I mean, I know all the young people, they know it. I mean, oh, I say all that. I look at it and go, I just believe it's all lies. I don't know. I can't, you know, I'm not going to get any truth from the internet, okay? That's just not where I draw my line. But it's because I could get deceived. I know. So I said, no, there's no sense looking at something if I don't know if it's real or not. You know, because I tried that once and they said, oh, you know, they called me Papa or Grandpa. And they say, Grandpa, that's not right. That's not even, I said, not even real. I said, okay, that's it. We don't, we, that's the last time we'll come it. And I don't, and then they say, how come you don't say anything or do it? I said, because it's all, I don't know what's real. Amen. And here's number seven. Let's close on this one here. Amen. And this is one that we really look at and everybody will fight you for more than anything. Because you need to, and because we talk about this word claim, but really it just means you need to take hold as your own. Claim the endless resources available to you through faith in a limited God. Listen, God's resources are far exceeding. God does exceeding abundantly. Above all that we can ask or think. He really does. But it's according to the power that works in us. The Amplified version of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says this. Now to him who by the consequence of or in the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest thoughts, our highest hopes or dreams. Amen? I mean, that's Ephesians 5, you know, 3:20, when it talks about it, that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even ask or think according to the power that works within you. It's really, but you know that there's a little word in there because everybody's saying, well, how come it's not working? Because it says he's able to do it and he's telling us that we should walk in that. We should, but he's not telling us that we would. He's able, and he's saying we should. I say, okay, Lord, you said we should. You said you're able. So now how do I get able, and how do I get in the should and not the would? Tell me how I can grab a hold of this. Well, number one is you got to believe it. You got to believe that God has all the resources. God has everything to finish out your life. He's got all the supply. He's got everything that he has need because he's going to meet and supply all of your needs according to his riches. His riches. Not according to yours, but according to his. Aren't you glad that everything that you have need of is tied to heaven? It's tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's tied to the Word of God. But if I believe that he has enough resources to finish the job, amen? He has enough resources to finish and do. If he's given me his vision, his plan, I say, okay, Lord, it's yours. You got to bring the finances in. You got to bring everything in. You got to bring people. You got to bring the supply because it's yours. Amen? You know, my mentor, you know, is in heaven and everything, but it was funny because the Lord spoke to him about starting a Bible school, and he started it, and it's the Bible school that I went to, the Bible college, and it's funny because he said when he was first doing it, he had ministers come, and they would drive around on the golf court, and all of his ministry friends would say, oh, brother, you must carry a heavy burden. He looked at him like, he said, no. He said, yeah, but you got all this. You got 110 acres, and you get these, you have all this. You're going to have to, you're paying for, oh, that must be so heavy. He said, oh, no. He said, I don't miss a wink. He said, what happens when, he said, whenever it's lower, he said, I just tell the Lord, woohoo, praise God. I didn't want to do this anyway, so I'm glad it's going under. God, he said, you told me if this is you, then you got to take care of it. I'm not going to miss one meal. I'm not going to miss one sleep. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to be happy. Praise God. I didn't want to do it anyways. And that used to just tweak me into next week because I'd be like, oh, what do you mean you're not praying about it? Why are you not believing? You know? He said, no. If God spoke to us and God did it and we're doing the right things and we're not being hopelessly unfaithful, he's going to bring it to pass. He's going to make it all come to pass. So, I believe in planning and I believe in doing, but I also believe that what God orders, he pays for. Amen. I've ordered a bunch of things that I've had to pay for, okay? Hallelujah. Messed up thinking it was the Lord. Amen. But every time it's been God, he comes through. You know, these are simple things. These are simple little truths that we think, well, I know that. But when you grab a hold of it and look at yourself, am I really letting grace live in me so that I can do more than what I believe I can do? Am I allowing, the fullness of God, the fullness of Him. Am I living in the fullness of what God has for my life? You know, is my heart good? What am I having here? And I'll close on this story because this is an example. There was a town that got hit by a hurricane, okay, and it knocked out everything, but it also knocked out all the water. So, Corps of Engineers, everybody came in with water trucks and everything, and they said, listen, we can give you as much water as you need or as much water as you want, but you got to bring the containers. You got to bring the containers, you know? And so everybody brought different things. You know, one guy, he only brought a cup. He got him a 32-ounce cup. That's cool. That's good. That's, you know, another guy brought a gallon jug, you know? You know, another guy, he brought a 5-gallon bucket and like, hey, okay, this is pretty cool. But one guy said, you know what? I don't know how long this is going to last. So he put a big old bathtub in the back of his truck. He said, fill it up. Well, he filled it up. Well, the funny thing about it, the guy with the cup looked at the guy with the truck with the bathtub and said, well, how come you got so much? And he went back to the guys that were doing it, and he says, hey, I don't understand. You only gave me a cup. He said, that's what you brought me. That's what you brought. We said, we can give you as much as you want. All you wanted was a cup. The guy with the gallon said, I only got a gallon. I said, yeah, but that's all you brought. You got to ask yourself, how big is my container? And your container is your heart. How big is your heart? What can I? So don't get mad at somebody else who's maybe get things that are happening great. And say they just had a bigger container. They thought bigger than you at that time. That doesn't mean you can say, "Well, I'm going to go get me a container. I'm going to go back." The wonderful thing about God is you can always go back to Him and get some more. Amen. You can go back and get some more. You can go back and get. So you have to ask yourself, "How big is my container? How big is my heart to receive?" Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word that penetrates our heart. Father, I've just shared from my heart as a pastor, trying to encourage and strengthen and get an understanding into their hearts of, man, God, you have so much for us, so many great things. Hallelujah, that you've never left us nor forsake us, and you will never do that. You will never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Hallelujah. And the best is yet to come because it just keeps getting better and better because we're getting closer and closer to your return. Father, I ask for your amazing grace once again and for the Spirit of grace to be in this place, the Holy Spirit touching lives, mending hearts, letting people know that they're not alone. You are not alone. God loves you. His thoughts, His plans, He's thinking about you right now. He has your best interest, but He has your life planned. Hallelujah. He has His book for you, and He wants you to grab a hold of it and begin to walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. Walk in the light of it. His resources are endless. And God never fails. And God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. So faithful. Father, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anybody here that don't have a right relationship with Jesus, that's really not sure about the things that have been spoken or things in their heart, they're trying to figure out who's right in the world. Father, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that, and we want to give that away because we found out about the goodness of God. Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to touch their lives. Lord, you declared in Romans chapter 10, you said, if we would believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we would be saved. Because with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Lord, we honor you today. We do. We love you. We praise you. I do. That's my greatest desire is that people are born again. People that make Jesus the Lord of their life. People become followers of Jesus and they receive all the blessings and the benefit and the joy of being a Christian. That's my heart. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Absolutely. Absolutely, I would pray. You know, we lead in a prayer, and it's not the prayer, it's you believing in your heart and you confessing with your mouth. That's what changes lives. So if you need Jesus to be the Lord of your life and you desire for us to lead you in a prayer, then just raise your hand real high. That's all it is, just an invitation. It's an invitation from our Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you because I've shared a message to the body of Christ. And with that message is this, is that we're not alone, that you are with us and we are in you and you are in us, and that we can walk in the victory that you have, and that your plan and your purpose will be fulfilled in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. And your grace is enough. Just as you told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. It's not waning. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. And thank you, Father, for meeting and supplying every need of every person here. Lord, we honor you for that. We thank you for it. And Lord, thank you for your healing power and your healing covenant. Lord, touching lives, because you are that. The enemies come, but God, thank you that you lift up a standard against them. And you lift up your word, and your word declares. So, Father, thank you for the body of Christ. We honor you for it. As we go out these doors, we're going out into a mission field. We're going out to share the love of Jesus with a lost and dying world. Father, thank you that the laborers are going and the laborers are letting you live big in them. Lord, thank you. Thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, we have a group of folks that are our prayer team, and they're going to come forward. And if you need prayer for anything, they're awesome. They will believe God with you. If you need to give your heart to Jesus, they'll lead you to Jesus, give you some books, things like that. I love you. God loves you. The best is yet to come. Let's all stand up. You are dismissed. Be blessed.